One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Hey, 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 podcast 113, coming straight from, actually, Vail, Idaho. I am podcasting on my drive to the Oregon Country Fair. Okay, fans, here we go. I am podcasting on the run. As I mentioned, I am on my way to the Oregon Country Fair. I mentioned that in my last podcast. And I'm driving. So I got quite the setup here in my vehicle, and you might get a little bit of hum from the background. But overall, my vehicle's pretty quiet. And we'll just kind of go from there. I gotta tell you, this is part one of podcasting on the road. I don't think I'm just gonna do a full podcast in this one session, but I'll probably break it up a little bit closer to Bend, Oregon. But right now I just left Vail, Oregon, and that's pretty sweet. Great little Oregon city. Most of my traveling is in Oregon. If you look at a map, Boise, Idaho, and Eugene, Oregon are about at the same parallel. Basically, I'm just driving west on Highway 20. This is my favorite route. And it's a route that I've been driving since I moved to Boise. I've been going to the Oregon Country Fair almost every year. In the years I didn't, I was at the Dzogchen Retreat Center doing two-month Buddhist internships, which is the Oregon Country Fair is not that far from the Dzogchen Retreat Center, basically Vineta, Oregon. So I've been making this drive one to two times a year since, well, 1997. I'm very comfortable with this drive. And but I got to tell you, getting out of Boise was a little sticky. There's a lot of construction. I went to go get me some non-ethanol gas. There's only a few states left that do non-ethanol gas. My car just rides so much better on gas with no ethanol. Now, I grew up in Indiana. They had an ethanol plant there. I remember when they built it, one day I woke up and I could just smell the smell of ethanol in the air. So I went to go get me some non-ethanol gas, and then just tried to get out of Boise, Idaho after work at 4 o'clock. That can be a little challenging. And the highway was a little sticky. There's just a lot of construction. It took a little bit of time to get out. But then it's a great drive to Ontario, Oregon, crossed that border, and then took a left at Ontario and ended up in Vail. Vail is known for having a bunch of murals painted everywhere. And the last time I was in Vail, I was actually driving out to the Dhaka retreat. That's an all men's retreat at the Dzogchen Retreat Center. I went with my friend and Sangha member Tyler. We stopped off at this great place for breakfast to get some slamming good food in Vail. Might have been the first time I've eaten in Vail. Usually I just stop and get gas at the Sinclair. But I just left the Sinclair, I bought some water, I set up my computer. I got everything just set up on my front seat. Not so bad, but I got my microphone hooked up to my, iPhone mount, you know, my phone mount. And yeah, I'm just talking as I'm driving, so this is pretty cool. One thing I do want to say is that you know, central Tibet looks a lot like Idaho and eastern Oregon. A little bit. But I got to tell you, the foothills out there in Tibet are incredibly large and vast. I mean, you got to think about foothills leading into the Himalayan mountains. But I mean, just the landscape is pretty similar. It's just, it looks like it's here in Oregon, Idaho, 20 times smaller. And certainly the vast openness is not as extreme as Tibet, but there's some interesting similarities. And one reason why I love this drive is that it is simply just so open and vast. And it's not the most commonly used highway. Most people just take 84 to Portland and then drop south to Eugene. It actually is more mileage, but it takes less time because you can drive faster. But I love this highway because it's not well used. So it's pretty open. I don't deal with a lot of cars. And it's just absolutely, stunningly beautiful. And it's just great windshield time, great contemplation time. I can look forward as I'm looking right now, just leaving Vail. It's just a lot of open farmland and rolling hills and vast, transparent sky before me. It's just, I love it. I love it. And it's a great way to get to the Oregon Country Fair. And it has been since 1997. And it's also a great way to drive into the Dzogchen Retreat Center when I go on internship. You know, it's just really, let me get back on the road. It's just really very soothing. It's very calm. It's very beautiful. And I love this time of day, just driving after work at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I just texted with a good friend of mine, Daniel Reibold. He's still in Tibet. He was on the 19-day pilgrimage. He went to the very sacred and spiritual mountain of Kailash. I just did the 12-day. So he's on his way back to the States. And it was nice to check in with him and just talk a little bit while he's getting ready to board his plane. And I am now back in Idaho, back in my flow. You know, it's real interesting to get back from Tibet. I got back at midnight on Friday night, which was not that long ago, almost a week ago. I had two mellow days just hanging out, unpacking, kicking it with my mom, going to movies. We went to go see John Wick. She wasn't too pleased with that. And then we went to go see Spider-Man Homecoming, which was great. My brother came in on that. And then I just worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Taught Aikido on Monday, which was great. And just trying to get used to the jet lag, which hasn't been too extreme. Not too extreme, but a little bit. I've been kind of tired at work, but I actually did okay. I thought it was going to be a little more challenging. But maybe it's that straight 14-hour shift. I remember coming back from Malaysia, and coming back from Europe was pretty challenging. But this one wasn't too bad. So I left right after work, and now I'm driving through Oregon, and we're about to tap into one of my favorite stretches here. About 15 miles outside of Vail, there's some just really sweet rolling hills. There's a river that's going to be coming up. I don't think it's the Mackenzie River, but it's just really, really beautiful. And it's great because I get some personal contemplation time to think about my time in Tibet, maybe think about what I'm going to podcast in Tibet. But I'll tell you what, right now I'm just going to let you know that I'm on my way to the 50th anniversary of the Oregon Country Fair, and I could not be more pleased. And, you know, in a real way, one of the reasons why I didn't go on the 19-day pilgrimage was to go to the Oregon Country Fair. But the main reason was I couldn't be away from my day job that long. Now that I have a new job, I can't be gone for 2 months at a time or even 3 weeks. So I thought 2 weeks and 3 days was sufficient enough, then I can come back and work for 4 days and squeeze in the Oregon Country Fair. But the Oregon Country Fair, I've done some podcasts about the Oregon Country Fair, and I got to tell you, it is a fundamentally impactful time frame in my life. And from 1993 until probably 2014, I went every year except one, and that's the year I rode my bicycle from Seattle to Chicago. So I didn't go to the fair that year, but I've been at the fair so much, people just recognize me because I'm always there, not necessarily as a performer or somebody that's run a booth, but I did work at my didgeridoo teacher, Alan Shockley's booth for a number of years, and I have performed a couple years at the youth stage. So I am part of the Oregon Country Fair, if I can even say that. But man, I'll tell you what, I've had some great experiences at the Oregon Country Fair. And yeah, some of them were on mind-altering substances. I did a lot of that in the past. Normally I tell people I've done a lot of drugs. I've done enough drugs to kill a small nation. But I say that in jest. I've done more than my fair share. I no longer do drugs, but I still enjoy the Oregon Country Fair. And at the 25th anniversary, so 25 years ago, I was there with my brother. We were at the Zumwalt Campground. Wow, we were at the Zumwalt Campground, and the drum circle at that experience, I can't even tell you the time that we had. It was so just altering, mind-altering. I had very strong experiences. I can no longer use the word profound or religious or anything like that, because I'll tell you what, practicing Dharma, realizing Dharma, engaging deeply in Buddhist practice, I have had experiences that are 10 times greater than anything I've ever had on any drug. And I just want to say that because some of these stories might revolve around that. We'll see how much of that I'll actually talk about. But 25 years ago was a very profound experience. It was a silver anniversary. It was a very powerful Oregon Country Fair, and I told myself then that I would go back for the 50th anniversary. Now, normally I'm on Buddhist retreats, but as I said, I'm, 2 months at Buddhist retreats. I have a new job. I can't be gone that long, so it kind of creates the opening for me to be at the fair. Now, I wasn't at the fair in 2015 or 16, because 2014 and 15, I wasn't at the Dzogchen summer internship. I went 2013, I'm sorry. And then 2014, I was at the World Championships of Public Speaking in Malaysia with Toastmasters. And I went to Borobudur. I did a Buddhist pilgrimage. I taught in Singapore. That was really cool. And then 2015, I was on a speaking tour and Buddhist Dharma teaching tour in Europe. That was just the bomb. But both of those years, I had the opportunity to speak at the Oregon Country Fair at the youth stage. So I'm excited to go back to the youth stage. That's going to be great. It's just going to be a really good time. I have so many dear, dear friends that I've made over the last almost 3 decades of going to the Oregon Country Fair. It's been 27 years, and it's just been really amazing. I'm going to go see my good friend Dan, who makes leather bags, Hippo products, and I have so many other friends that I just can't wait to see, and so many great shows to go see. Ah, the Oregon Country Fair, yeah, such a beautiful drive right here. The river's rolling up. I'm getting ready to wind through the rolling hills, so I think for this installment, I'm going to check out, and I'll check back in a little bit. I need to see the sound quality. Looks like I got a lot of background hum. It's probably basically just the sound of the car. And I need to focus on driving and thinking about some Dana's cheesecake. That's been on my mind. I usually do Dana's cheesecake while I'm at the Oregon Country Fair. And in this theatrical ensemble called UMO, U-M-O, Unidentified Moving Objects. They're actually a very high-end theater troupe, and they play at the Oregon Country Fair. It's hilarious. They're at the W.C. Fields stage, and that stage mostly does like circus acts and kind of that kind of stuff. And they're on Friday at 11:30. That's going to be my best bet to see them because I'm only doing 2 days here at the fair. And with that, my friends, it's nice to check in with my podcast on the road. Here we go. One Hand Speaks on my way to the Oregon Country Fair. I'll check in a little bit. Okay, I'm back. Here we go. Part two. Burns, Oregon. Or Haines. It's hard to say. I'm right on the edge. There's two cities there back to back. And it's basically my halfway point to Bend, Oregon. And I'm hanging out at this beautiful park that I typically stop at and enjoy a little break, walk around, enjoy my time. And it's really pleasant because there's a couple of kids on the merry-go-round. They have a lot of swings and ladders and monkey bars and tetherball. And it looks like they got a really sweet slide. Now, the great thing is this park's been here for a while. Everything here is made out of metal. You don't really see that much of that anymore, especially the metal merry-go-round and the huge metal slides. But yeah, you got to give it up for Burns, Idaho. Now, let me tell you. I just got done with the first half of that drive. It's a couple hours, maybe 3 hours to get to Burns. And it's just stunningly beautiful. It looks so much like Tibet on a micro scale. And to see the blue of the water with the green and the sagebrush, the rolling hills, the vastness, the blue, expansive sky and all that, just absolutely, absolutely stunning. Just completely stunning. But the thing is the first half is kind of windy. There's a lot of rolling hills we're driving through and small cliffs, and we're by the river. It's just really can be a drag if there's a slow vehicle in front of you. But one thing I forgot to mention is that I lose cell reception there. So typically from Vail, at some point leaving Vail until I get within 30 miles of Burns, Oregon, I lose cell reception. And that's a real funny thing because it also happens in between Boise, Idaho and Caldwell, Idaho. And I'm bringing all this up because when I was in Tibet, and we are in a gigantic expanse and we're climbing mountains up to 14,000 feet and driving up to 16,000 feet, just huge, expansive views of valleys and mountains and all of that. We never lost cell reception once. And I had mentioned that when I was in Tibet in 2017 because, yeah, we drove for 3 days to get from Chengdu to the Kham Valley, the Dzogchen Valley there. And we never lost cell reception once. And we're talking Himalayan mountains here. But we ain't in China. We're not in Tibet. We're in Idaho and Oregon. And yeah, I lost cell reception. So I'm taking a little break. I'm going to go for a walk in this park and just enjoy some time by myself. But I just wanted to check in and let you know I'm kicking it in Burns, Idaho, having a good time. Love running solo on the run in my vehicle, one-on-one with myself to the Oregon Country Fair. And with that, I'll check out until we get to the next episode. Here we go, part three. I have landed in Bend, Oregon. And I got to tell you, that drive is just absolutely gorgeous. I'm coming in through the sunset. There's that beautiful glow with the late setting sunlight. It's just all over the plains. It's beautiful. The clouds are amber and red and multicolored. Everything just really very beautiful. I love driving into Bend during the sunset. It's just absolutely fantastic, you know. And up until Burns, the drive is windy. It's got a river by it. It is its own true beauty. I love it. And then that pit stop in Bend, watching a young boy and girl, maybe 9 years old, playing on the merry-go-round. That was really cool. I was just hanging out in the park for a little bit. And then the drive to Bend is like almost a straight shot. It's really interesting. It's flat and pretty straightforward, unlike the first half. A little bit of split dichotomy there, but wow, that drive in, that final stretch is just so absolutely beautiful. I love this drive. But here I am in Bend, kicking it in Bend, Oregon, late night at my good friend's house. She put me up for the evening. That's really quaint. I got to get up super early tomorrow, record-breaking time for me, hopefully 6 a.m., and trying to get into Eugene. I'm actually looking at a new bicycle, old school style. I didn't own a car until I was 33. I rode my bicycle pretty much my whole life, and for 10 years, devoted bicycle commuter, 5 years in Seattle, 5 years in Boise, all winter long. And I'm really interested in this bike called a Bike Friday, and it's got an interesting story. They're actually folding bicycles, and they have 20-inch wheels for a road bike, which is just a little bit bizarre. Bike Friday, they're made in Eugene, Oregon. They're really some very nice bicycles, but they're modeled after Moulton. Moulton out of the UK. And this guy's been making these high-pressure, small-rimmed road bicycles since the late 50s. The guy is the innovator. They're incredible bicycles. But they're not your 27-inch style. They're not your road bike standard. They're not your mountain bike. They got 20-inch wheels. It's really amazing. But they fly. They're incredibly well-built, strong, low to the ground, bears good weight, hyper-efficient. Yeah, I've been wanting one for a while. The Moulton I would love to have, but I don't know if I want to own a bike from the UK. I'd love to support the US of A. So I'm going to go check out these Bike Friday bikes. But I got to be there at 9 a.m. to do a test ride, and then I got to get to the Oregon Country Fair early so I can get in line and just get in, because UMO is playing Unidentified Moving Objects. It's a theater troupe, high-end theater troupe from the East Coast. I love them. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I had some really good food, and I just had a great time driving into Bend. I got another 3-hour stretch tomorrow, so from this point, things are going to start to change, because I'm getting ready to cross kind of over the mountain pass here, and then everything's just going to get wet and moist and alpiney and drippy, which is a far cry from the High Plains Desert at which I started in Boise, Idaho. So there's a lot of variation in landscape and moisture driving from Boise to Eugene, Oregon. Should be very cool. Should be very exciting. I will check back in on the run tomorrow morning sometime. Plan on getting some good coffee and then getting to Eugene. And yeah, I'll stop somewhere in the moist, wet forest of the kind of the Eugenian area over there. And we'll just see what's up in the morning time. So, okay, with that, my friends, I'm going to part out of part 3. Have a good night, and I'll see you all in the morning. Okay, here I am sitting in the parking lot at the Oregon Country Fair for part 4 of On the Road to the Oregon Country Fair. Now I got to tell you, I did get up at 5:45 to leave Bend, Oregon. And after packing up my vehicle and getting on the road, I probably left Bend at 6 o'clock and just had a beautiful drive. That seems to be the theme of this podcast, is just such a lovely, beautiful drive. Kind of watching the sun come up, but not quite. Just really early morning stuff. Missed any traffic. Got out of Bend real easy. Stopped off in Sisters, Oregon, which is usually where I stop off to do a lot of antique shopping. It's a great little touristic spot. Usually can have heavy traffic, but at 6:40 in the morning, I just went to the coffee shop, got me some lox, smoked salmon lox on a bagel, and some local kombucha, and two shots of espresso, so that was sweet. And then I was just on the run, just making the drive and doing mantras on my way to the Oregon Country Fair, but I had two pit stops. I went to go look at Bike Friday. I'll put a link in the show notes here for Bike Friday. They pretty much make a very similar style of bike to Moulton, which I have referred to. He used to be a bridge engineer, Mr. Moulton. He just recently died. And he started making bicycles, you know, and started making 20-inch rims on his road bike, and just a whole different design, a super efficient, low to the ground, powerful, fast, carried a lot of weight, just really phenom. Bike Friday is doing something very similar. And I really wanted to just give the shop a visit. I called them last Wednesday, told them I'd be in at 9, but I got there at 8:20. And Walter was there, so it was great, the guy that I spoke to. And he said, wow, you're kind of liberal with 9 a.m. But yeah, they were open, so I went to the showroom. I took the bike for a ride, asked a lot of questions. They're beautiful bicycles. Wow. And it'd be nice to just do a local thing, you know, just be nice to do a local thing. And so that was nice. I got to do that. That was one of the big trips coming out, which is why I ended up getting up so early. And then I had to mail something off to the Dzogchen Retreat Center. My mom knitted a blanket for Lama Kunzong, and I got some malas for my good Austrian buddy named Marcus. We were roommates back in 2012. We're just great friends. He sponsored my Buddhist teaching tour in Europe and also did some speaking there, which was really great. I spoke at a Czech Republic high school and taught Dharma in Austria and Finland and Estonia. So that was a great speaking tour back in 2014. But I got him some malas when I was in Tibet, and just had to deliver them, which is great because the UPS store that I stopped by, that is the mail stop, the post office box for the Dzogchen Retreat Center. But I can't just drop stuff off there. I had to mail it from there to there, which is fine because it was a big box. It only cost me $17 basically to drop ship it from that location. So all in all's good, you know. Now here I am in Oregon. I got to the fair a little bit early. See, it's 10:21. Fair opens at 11. I got to change my clothes. And, you know, the last time I drove out here, actually to the Dzogchen Retreat Center, was last February 2019, just, I don't know, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, I went to the Dhaka retreat in the winter. Driving to the DRC in the winter can be pretty hazardous. It worked out pretty well, except driving back, we got caught in a snowstorm. I couldn't cross the pass very well. Had to turn back and go by chains to get over the mountain pass where a Hoodoo ski resort is at near Bend, Oregon. So this drive was just totally pleasant, totally beautiful, totally just glorious, which is great. Coming off 12 days in Tibet, holy smokes. Yeah, let me open this door. I'm starting to heat up. Uh-oh. There we go. Yeah, the parking lot here, I'm glad I got here early. It's about to get crazy. I'm going to change my clothes, and then I'm going to get into the Oregon Country Fair and just spend a day with friends and old family and just have some fun. I talked to my mom this morning. She's like, oh, are you speaking at the fair? Are you working? And I said, no. No, I'm just here to have fun and enjoy myself and make a good transition coming out of coming out of Tibet. You know, it was just a week ago I flew in from Tibet. My time change lag, jet lag time change has adjusted. I feel pretty good. Actually, the jet lag on a 14-hour trip from Tibet wasn't so bad. Maybe because I stayed up all night on the plane watching movies and hanging out. But, you know, this is a very stark contrast from being on a Buddhist pilgrimage. I mean, climbing up to 14,000 feet to one of the great temples of Padmasambhava, where he gave the great empowerments and gave lessons to Yeshe Sogyal. And, you know, now to be here with a bunch of hippies and people dressed in funky clothes. And yeah, just, you know, it's just going to be, it's a good dichotomy. It's a good shift. And this is my style from one extreme to another, but pushing the good. Ain't nothing but good going on. Buddhist pilgrimage and then Oregon Country Fair, just having a good time, kids, music, festival, friends, and the such. So I will probably do a podcast tonight. I'm just recording this on a Friday, my drive. It's come to an end, my friends. It's been a great ride. And yeah, I'm just going to pack it down here and get ready to go into the fair. And I'll just do a podcast about the fair. I might even take my equipment in and do some recording from the Oregon Country Fair. We'll see. We'll see how well that goes. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure. I'd like to do some interviews inside the fair, but we'll see. Mostly, I just want to have some fun. So maybe I'll just check in and let everybody know how I'm doing. So with that, my friends, this is podcast 113, The Road to the Oregon Country Fair. It has come to a close, and I'll check you next time, my friends. Bye now. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.